In every human being, there exists a tension between what desires and what discerns, between what clings and what surrenders. This inner divide is the site of life's greatest struggle, the ego versus the soul. In Islam, this is not merely a psychological model, it is a spiritual reality. To understand it is to begin understanding the self. To train it is to begin tasting freedom. What is the ego? The ego, or nafs in Islamic terminology, is not inherently evil. It is the part of you that wants to be seen, to be right, to be safe, to be praised. It is the source of desire, fear, pride, and comparison. But it is not the source of true will. The ego doesn't will in the way the soul does. It reacts. It moves on instinct, not wisdom. It seeks pleasure and avoids pain, blindly, compulsively, and often destructively. If left untamed, the ego becomes a tyrant. It controls not only your choices, but your perception of reality. It defines your worth by the fleeting metrics of status, approval, and possession. But here's the mercy. In Islam, the ego is not to be destroyed. It is to be refined. What is the soul? The ruh, the soul, is the breath of the divine within you. Unlike the ego, the soul does not crave validation or dominance. It longs for meaning, beauty, nearness to God. It is drawn toward truth with an innate gravity, even when covered by layers of distraction. The soul is the driver. The ego is the desire. When the driver is awake, the journey is guided. When the driver sleeps, the vehicle swerves. Islamic tradition teaches that it is the will of the soul, not the ego, that holds moral responsibility. The soul sees not only the action, but the intention behind it. It doesn't merely ask, "What do I want?" It asks, "What does this lead to?" The three stages of the self. The Quran outlines a progression of the self. Nafs al-Ammara, the commanding self. The unrefined ego, impulsive and self-serving. Nafs al-Lawama, the self-reproaching soul, the conscience awakens, struggle begins. Nafs al-Mutma'ina, the tranquil soul, the ego is tamed, the soul leads in peace. These are not static states, but dynamic stages on the path of refinement. Every human heart moves between them. Does the ego have a will? Only seemingly. In truth, the ego has drive, not will. It reacts based on instinct and conditioning. The soul, on the other hand, is the seat of true volition. It chooses with awareness, not compulsion. When we say, "I was tempted," it's the ego reacting. When we say, "I knew better but chose wrongly," it's the soul failing to assert its will. And when we say, "I chose what was right despite my desire," that's the soul in command. The ego is a wild horse. The soul is the rider. The goal is not to kill the horse, but to teach it to run in the right direction. Training the self. 8 timeless principles, Murakaba, self-watchfulness. Become the observer of your own thoughts. Ask, who is acting, my soul or my ego? Mujahada, struggle against the self. Discipline the ego through acts of restraint, fasting, patience, silence, delayed gratification. Dhikr, remembrance of God. Repetition of sacred words tunes your heart back to its origin, quieting the ego's noise. Takali and tahali, emptying and adorning. Remove traits like envy or pride, and replace them with humility, sincerity, and patience. Seclusion, even briefly, strips the ego of performance and reconnects the soul to silence. Suhba, righteous companionship. Keep company with those who awaken your sincerity and soften your pride. Tawbah, returning to God. Never fear falling, only fear forgetting to return. Every stumble is a chance to deepen sincerity. Niyya, intention. Before every action, pause and ask, why am I doing this? Who is this for? Final reflection. Ego is desire, the soul is the driver. The human experience is not defined by desire alone, but by how we respond to it. The ego is desire. It is the raw, restless wanting that lives within us all. It wants to be seen, to be validated, to be fed. It reaches outward, grasping for comfort, approval, control. It is the heat in the flame, the hunger in the body, the voice that says, "I must have." But the ego cannot steer. Desire alone doesn't know where it's going. It's not wrong, it's just wild. It's energy without direction, fire without a hearth. And when desire drives, we are led not by purpose, but by impulse. We swerve, we crash, we become reactive, envious, distracted, and ultimately unfulfilled, even when we get what we thought we wanted. The soul is the driver. It is the part of you that sees, the part that pauses, the part that asks, "Is this true? Is this good? Is this worthy?" It is not afraid to delay gratification. It is not addicted to being right. It is not fueled by comparison. The soul has vision. It can see beyond the next moment, beyond the self, beyond the world. When the soul is driving, desire becomes useful. The ego's energy is no longer a tyrant, it is a servant. The fire of the ego, once destructive, becomes light that warms and illuminates. This is the essence of spiritual refinement, not to silence the ego by force, but to retrain it to follow rather than lead. Not to extinguish desire, but to teach desire what to desire. And when ego and soul walk in harmony, when the rider and the horse are one in purpose, there is a deep and lasting peace. Not the peace of comfort, but the peace of clarity. A peace that exists even in hunger, even in loss, even in trials, because the driver knows the destination and trusts the road. This is what Islam calls nafs al-mutma'inna, the tranquil soul. The ego has not disappeared. It has simply bowed to the one who made it. Return to your Lord, pleased and pleasing. Enter among my servants. Enter my paradise. That paradise doesn't just begin in the next world. It begins the moment the soul takes the wheel. So remember this. You are not your desire. You are the one who chooses where it leads. Desire is not your enemy. It's your companion, but only if you hold the reins. The ego is desire. The soul is the driver. Train the one, trust the other, and drive home.